Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Campus, good to see everybody. And I want to welcome those that are tuning in via live stream. My goodness, this will take forever getting so many campuses over here now. Cal State in the Northwest and Tehachapi and Springville, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody. But anyway, I want to say hello to you. Always good to be back in hometown. Man Cave. Guys, if you haven't been, you guys that have been, you know how good it is. If you haven't been, I want to encourage all new men to come to Man Cave next week. It's really a great time. Meet some new men. It's great for your spiritual life. And so I want to invite all new men next week to Man Cave here. Well, we're finishing a series today that Bakersfield and Las Vegas has been in together called I'm Normal, What About You? And so it's a series about understanding the differences between us and other people, how they got to be different, and how we can learn to accept them and get along with them and not kill each other in the process. Nowhere is understanding needed more than in our marriages. Oh my goodness. Let me read a portion of scripture to you. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Being made in the likeness of God is where the similarities between men and women ended. I'm convinced. We are so different. You that are married, you know what I'm talking about. You that aren't married yet, you'll find out if you get married in short order. Well, today I want to look at those differences and why being happily married, I emphasize happily, why being happily married can be so challenging. But I don't want to leave out our single adults. This is a teaching about marriage and the differences, but I don't want you... single adults to right now to pull out your phone and start surfing and through Facebook and just kind of tune me out. I want to talk to you for a second. Do you realize, single adults, that by the time that people reach 90 years of age, only 5% of them have never been married before? Which kind of begs the question, if you want to live a long life, don't get married. Is that what that's saying? There's a good chance if you're here and you're single that you probably will be married, or maybe you've already been married and there's a good chance you'll remarry. But I do want to just talk to single adults just for a moment. I read this week a story about a family in China's Yunnan province that adopted a Tibetan Mastiff puppy. Had a huge appetite. It ate a box of fruit and two bucket of noodles every day. Within 2 years, this animal weighed 250 pounds and started walking on its hind legs. It was at this time they realized this wasn't a dog. This was an Asiatic black bear. And they had to turn it into the zoo. What's the moral of that story? Single women, single men, know who you're marrying. You might find out some surprises a couple years down the line. You married a bear of a mate. Kick the tires good. I'm going to be referencing some differences between men and women from the best-selling book by Bill and Pam Farrell called Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. Women, I want to see if I can invite you for a moment into the very complex, troubled, often disturbed mind of us men, okay? And I want to do that starting off via a little clip from the comedian Jim Gaffigan. You may have heard of him. And so anyway, ladies, hopefully this will kind of help you start to understand us a little bit. Take a peek.
Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to get fat. Last night I was eating a pint of ice cream and I finished it because I'm American. All right. I took off the lid and I threw it away because I'm not a quitter, everyone. And because I care about the environment. I was conserving energy by not refreezing it. You're welcome. Of course it was at night. You ever eat ice cream during the day? You're like, what are we, 6 years old? Did we just get our tonsils out? Why are there people around me? Shouldn't I be alone watching Lifetime? Those hoarders, those are the ones with the problem. I was eating a pint of ice cream and sweatpants like a man. My wife came in the room. She was like, Jim, are you going to eat an entire pint of ice cream by yourself? I was like, hopefully. Unless you selfishly want a bite. Jim, you have a 9-year-old daughter. Don't you want to be at her wedding? Not really, no. Wait, is there going to be ice cream at her wedding? Because if you promise, I still don't want to go.
Oh, all right. Let's talk about the guys for a minute, okay? Ladies, you have to understand that men, they process life like the boxes on a waffle. They can only focus on one little square at a time, okay? So you just have to realize that. Just like a waffle has little squares, we can only be in one square at one time. So we're only focusing on that little square. That's why if your husbands are like me, and it drove Vicky crazy until she understood that's just how I'm wired. When the phone rings, when I get a phone call, everything in the house must come to a screeching halt. TV has to go down. Conversations have to stop. Why? Because I have a phone call and I can only focus on that phone call. Any other distraction, I'm completely lost. In fact, I didn't realize I was as bad as I was until my adult kids came out to Las Vegas to visit, and the phone rang, and all of a sudden I heard my son say, quiet, everybody, quiet, Dad's got a phone call. It's like, chill out, I'm just going to talk here. And we talked later, and they're laughing, saying, you scared us in Colorado, man. Everything had to be real quiet, and, you know. I said, well, hopefully I've changed since then. But see, we can only process one little box at a time. Ladies, you also have to understand, by nature, we're problem solvers. We're troubleshooters. That's just how we roll. That's how we're wired. That's why I like to watch shows on like the Discovery Network called like Alone, where they drop 10 people off on an island and see who can live out there off the land the longest. You got to figure out how you're going to catch fish and figure out how you're going to stay warm. And Mountain Men, I like that show too, where you're always, something's always breaking down. Something's always, you got to fix something or build something. Why? Because we like doing that. We love building those types of things. Oh, ladies, boy, you've got to get this about us. We are bottom liners. What's the bottom line? Just get to the point. That's kind of what we're, how we're wired. See, here's how we think and process. We have a decision to make, and so we're going to go into our little box, okay? And we're going to get in there, and we're going to tinker around. We're going to tinker, and we're going to figure out how we're going to solve it, and we're going to manipulate it, and we're going to plan it, and all of a sudden, then we're going to come out to you, and then we're going to say, okay, I got the problem. I solved. We're moving to Alaska. What? Yep, moving to Alaska. There's work in Alaska. There's no work here. I thought about it. I figured out we're going to. When did you think about it? You didn't talk with me. No, I thought about it. I got it all planned. We're going to Alaska. Put the house up for sale. Pack up. We're leaving right now. The wives are like, what the heck? Where'd this come from? I figured it out. Where did we figure it out? Inside. It's all going on in here, ladies. All going on up here, right? That's how we process stuff. Now, a man, ladies, needs to feel successful. So he will spend his life in the boxes where he thinks he can win. We have to feel like we're a success. We have a hard time living with ourselves if we feel like we're failing. So that's why you have some men who are successful in their jobs. They have the tendency sometimes to become workaholics. Why? Because they derive such success and such satisfaction from work, so they just work all the time. Hey, the more I work, the more money I make, the more successful I feel. Now, the opposite is also true. If a man doesn't view himself as a success at work, then he will find something in life, very often a hobby, where he can be successful. And maybe he gets into golf and says, hey, I'm a pretty good golfer. Well, if he thinks he has a chance to be a good golfer, then he's all in. He's been watching the Golf Channel constantly. He's going to be spending hundreds of dollars at the golf store, buying the newest, you know, putter, the newest golf club, and the newest golf ball that gets him an extra 10 yards on his drive. And so he's all in. Why? Because he feels successful. He's got to feel successful. Now, some men who had a season of their life where they felt really successful, they'll try to go recapture that. They'll try to go back in time, and they'll try to man, I remember I was this age. I felt so successful. I came across one such guy who in the 70s really had some success, and he just went back and started living in the 70s. I got a picture of him. Yeah, that guy right there. Disco era, man. Yeah, that's where I was really, that's where it was happening for this guy right there, okay? All right, let's talk about you ladies. Men process problems like a square of a waffle, just one little box at a time. Women, on the other hand, you process life like a plate of spaghetti. Everything is intertwined. One thought is on top of another thought that is wrapped around another thought, and it all kind of leads in, and it makes sense to you. It's just all woven together. You ladies view life and solve problems by talking through all those different elements. You take the emotional into consideration, the logical, the relational, the spiritual aspect of a situation, and you begin to talk it out. That's how you dialogue, and that's how you process. Us guys, we process it internally, quiet internally. You ladies, you talk. Yeah, then I went over here, and then I talked to this, and then this person said this, and then I thought about this, but you know what? I prayed, and God told me this, and so you're talking, but you're actually, what you're doing is you're actually talking yourself into a solution, because eventually the answer is going to bubble up. And you're going to say, here's what I'm going to do. Meanwhile, here's the problem. What are men? Problem solvers. So what are we doing? As soon as you start saying, well, I don't know about this, I pray, all of a sudden we say, wait. I'm a problem solver. I'm a bottom liner. Here's what you need to do. You got a time management problem. So if you'll get up earlier, if you'll do this, right? Okay, boom, next problem. And the ladies are saying, I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just talking. I'm just sharing. I'm just getting it out here. Right? You husbands are laughing. Your wives are looking at you. And listen to him. And then if we do try, which we should, we do try to listen to our wives. We're kind of listening, and we're thinking, oh, God, please let her stop. Please. Please, God. God, if I've ever done anything that's pleased you, please have her to stop. That's why, husbands, your wives can multitask so well. They really can. Vicky used to blow me away. She'd be talking on the phone, holding up with her shoulder and stirring the pot on the stove as she was preparing dinner, and meanwhile, every now and then she'd go over and write down, oh, I need this at the store. I got to go to the store tomorrow doing that. And then Seth would get a line. Seth, stop that. I told you to knock that off. And, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just listening, you know, here. And she's all unbelievable. Unbelievable. They can do that. Why? Because they're spaghetti. That's God's wired. They can do multiple things. I want to close by giving us some help. Let me give you some insights, men and women, into some of the needs that your husbands have from you, wives, and wives that your husbands need. Let's start with you guys. Okay, now these are generalizations. I realize everyone's different. But here's some top things that your wife needs you to know, husbands. She needs to feel secure. She needs security. Your wife needs financial security in the present so she can be confident about her future. If she doesn't feel financially secure in the here and now, it's hard for you, as you talk about all these long-term plans, it's hard for her to get on board with that. See, us guys sometimes, we're looking out. You know, we're saying, hey, you know what, I got a plan. we're going to eat beans and weenies for the next 9 years. And come 10 year, man, it's T-bone steaks. But your wife said, nah, I'm not down to that. I'm not comfortable eating beans and weenies for 9 years. I need some steak now. I can have a little bit of beans and weenies. So they need that assurance in the here and now. So what that means is, guys, we have to provide for our wives. We've got to be providers. Not that women can't work. And you know, Vicky's worked pretty much, you know, once the kids got involved, she's worked too. But the primary biblical mandate is for the man to be the primary provider. Look at 2 Thessalonians verse 3, chapter 8. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. This is Apostle Paul. He built tents during the day and ministered at night because he didn't want to be a burden to people. He worked hard and then ministry. And then in 1 Timothy 5:8, this is kind of harsh, but it's scripture. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and he's worse than an unbeliever. He's worse than an unbeliever, it says. Husbands, work hard. Work hard. If you're not a hard worker by nature, ask God to help you to work hard. Just do it in obedience. Some people are just naturally hard workers. I never was. I was a good player. I could play with the best of them. But I had to learn to work hard, and I work hard now. But I had to come in time. But work hard. Well, I work hard, and we're still short. My wife's home with three kids, and we don't make it. Well, then you might pray about getting a second job. What? Yeah. If you got to provide for your family, you might have to work two jobs. Cut your finances down, try to get, you know, live lean and mean. But if that's still not good enough, then you might have to take a second job. Work hard, provide for your family. Give your wife confidence that, hey, you know what? You know, if he loses a job, I'm not going to sweat it because he's a hard worker. He's shown he'll provide for us. He's going to take care of us. Guys, she needs to feel valued by her husband. A wife needs to feel really valued by her man. She needs to know that you love her and that you want to be with her. Ephesians 5:25 puts it this way. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Your wife has to know that other than Christ, that she's right under Christ. That she's the most important thing to you other than Christ, over and above your job, over and above your hobbies, over and above even your children. That she is the most important thing other than God in your life. And you have to show that to her. Prove it to her. Thirdly, guys, she needs to respect you. We talked, one of the ways of that is providing for the family. Another way is by you being engaged in raising the kids. A lot of husbands, because I work, I provide, me Tarzan, you Jane, I come home, and I'm done. And a lot of husbands, they come home and they're done. And the wife, you know, if she's a stay-at-home mom, she's been home all day and she's talking, my Paw Patrol talk with all the kids, and she's starving for some adult conversation. And what do you do, guys? What do? We come home and get in the lazy boy proper chair up and, you know, and just there. And the kids are going crazy. And, you know, honey, would you please take care of the kids? And she's saying, you know, can I get some help here? Guys, when your job ends, your job that you make money, your day's not over. Now your job at home begins as a husband and as a father. You just go from one job to the other. Literally, when I was on staff here, when I first started ministry several years ago, I didn't know this, and I would be all stressed out here from work and, oh, man, dealing with people, and I just want to go home and veg, and we ran into some of these problems that I was doing, and finally, I had to say, God, I need to do something different. So literally, I'd pull over on Mount Vernon right up here. I'd pull off. We lived up by East High School. I'd pull over and say, Lord, I need a fresh anointing. I'm taking off my pastor hat now, and now I'm putting on dad and father hat. Lord, I need anointing, God. I'm tired, and my kids are going to just, you know, ambush me when I get home. Anoint me, God. And Vicky's going to want to talk, and I don't want to talk, but I need to talk. So, God, anoint me. And I was serious. I would pray, and I'd go in there, and, man, it was a different. God would honor that, and I'd be able to engage in stuff. And so, guys, show your wives that. And then have her respect you by being the spiritual leader. This is so misunderstood sometimes. When I say men be spiritual leader, I think that you immediately maybe look up to, like, I got to be Pastor Ron. That's not what I'm saying. Pastor Ron is a type A personality. Maybe you're not a type A person. I'm not a type A personality. I can't be, you know, Energizer Bunny. That's just not me. But I can be a spiritual leader with my personality, and it's by what I do. It's not how loud I talk. It's by the decisions I make. It's by my consistency. And so, men, you don't have to be real loud. You don't have to be real vocal if that's not you. But just lead. Just, what does that look like? You make sure that things are good spirits. Make sure your family's going to church on a regular basis. Make sure that your home is a godly environment. There were times growing up, or not growing up, in Colorado when our kids were growing up, we were raising them, where things were just kind of getting squirrely around the house. The wheels were kind of getting loose and coming off and, you know, just stuff. And I said, wait, time out. I said, let's get together. And we only had two or three of these. I said, everybody in the living room. That was that room that, you know, nobody stays in. You buy all this furniture. You never go in there except for, like, family meetings or something. So let's go in the dining room. Let's get some use out of this room. And so we went in there. I said, hey, let's talk. And I'm not happy with this. Guys, we need to change this. Sorry, Dad's been doing this wrong. I apologize. And we would just get on track, and I would always close in prayer and say, God, help us. So, guys, that's what it looks like sometimes. Just kind of getting the train back on the track. It's getting a little bit wobbly here, just kind of getting it back, just taking the tone. And so that's what it means to be a spiritual leader. And you can grow into it, guys. All right, let's talk to you ladies for just a bit. Here's some top things, ladies, that your man is wanting you and needing you to know. Number one, he needs intimacy from you. He needs it from you. You're the only legal, lawful, biblically okayed person that he can have relations with. He can't have it anywhere else without sinning. So you have to understand that. And you also have to understand that for a man, sex is the reset button. The boss could be on his back. The kids could be driving him crazy. Everything is going just bonkers. But he can have relations with you, and it's all of a sudden it's like, okay, all right. Let's start over. I can do this. It's the reset button, ladies. You have to know that. It really is. You also need to understand how your man is you know, stimulated. It's with sight and with thought. You gals, that's not how you're wired. But with guys, is we're stimulated by what we see and what we think. And you ladies know that. And sometimes you know, like, oh, man, I saw that look today when he walked out the door. Oh, yeah, I saw him. Oh, I know that look. I know what he's got in his mind when he comes home from work today. So what you do is, I'm not going to give him anything to look at. And so what you do is you put on those military-grade Kevlar-coated pajamas all the way up the neck, and you welcome him at the door. Basically, you're saying, don't even think about it, buddy. He needs also, ladies, he needs respect from you. That is huge. A wife needs to know that other than Christ, she's number one in her husband's life. A man needs to know that his wife respects him. He's got to know that. If he feels like she didn't respect me, then he's just really not in a good place. How do you respect him? Well, listen to him. Even as cockamamie ideas he has sometimes, just listen to him. Respectfully listen to him. Value his opinion. Again, as maybe it's just way out there, but value his opinion. Because, be honest with you, men and women, you know, we offset one another. Vicky is really good, again, short-term. She's good in the practical, you know, stuff that, oh, I don't see that. I'm good long-term. I see this out here. I can see down the road here. I can see long-term. Vicky, you know, sees the more practical, you know, right now stuff. So learn to appreciate each other. Ladies, don't ever, ever talk your man down, especially in public. Don't ever talk your man down. 1 Peter 3 says that husbands can be won without a word by the chaste and respectful behavior of their wives. My wife, nobody is stronger than my wife. She's a type A. She's a female version of Pastor Ron when Pastor Ron was about 25 years old, just a tiger of a gal. But my wife has never talked me down. My wife is very respectful to me, and she honors me, and she has that part down. And so, ladies, don't ever talk your man down, especially in public. Let him lead, ladies. Let your husbands lead. Even if he's leading wrong sometimes. I'm not leading unbiblically, but even if he's leading wrong, let him lead. Let him lead. Well, what if he's leading us down the wrong path? How do I let him know? First of all, pray, as I just said. But you know what? Vicky, now, if I go to her and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this, and I thought about making this decision. And if she disagrees with it, she won't say anything, but I can tell by the expression on her face that I'm making a boo-boo. She'll look at me and like, I'm thinking, uh-oh. And then I'll say, you know what? Hey, yeah, I made that decision, but I'm going to go in here and pray just a little bit more. I'll come out. No, change my mind. I'm going to do this. And I said, look in her face like, yeah. I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. So she makes me think like it was my decision. Lastly, wives, your husband needs peace from you. He needs to have you help him get some peace in his life. We're grinding away at work, wives. We're grinding. We're trying to be successful. We're trying to compete, and we're out there. We're fighting against temptation. We're fighting to try to live out our faith out. And when we come home, yes, as I said earlier, yes, we need to engage with the kids. Yes, we need to engage with you. But we do need a little bit of a peaceful moment. I recommend, ladies, that you give your man, you know, 15 to 30 minutes when he comes home. Just let him come home and walk, and just come in and just chill. And maybe greet him, say, hey, you know, want a Pepsi? Can I get you a glass of iced tea? Would you like a cup of coffee? And, yeah, and just kind of let him chill. Just let him chill. Hey, kids, let daddy come in for a second. Go play. Go put the puzzle together. And let him just kind of come in and just kind of let him kind of transition a little bit. Let him transition a little bit. And then at that point, okay, I've transitioned. Okay, how was your day, hon? Yeah, good here. Come here, Susie. And also now you're engaged. But don't, as soon as he comes in, do you know what they said today? I did this, and I'll, can you believe this? And I'll just say, whoa. Let me chill just for a little bit. It'll be helpful. That's just how we're wired. If it brings peace to him by having a clean house, ladies, clean your house. Give him a clean house. If what brings him peace is to have a nice home-cooked meal every night, cook him a nice meal. Cook him his meal, favorite meals. Oh, you're being old school, Pastor Doug. Well, maybe I am. But you know what? Vicky and I are celebrating 40 years of marriage this November. It works. This stuff works. I want to conclude by sharing a little bit about Solomon. If you want to have a good read, read the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. It chronicles his life. The man that was given a wish by God, God said, what do you want? Anything you want, you can have. And this guy wisely said, I need wisdom because I'm now ruling over Israel. I'm too young. I need wisdom. And so God said, good request. I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you all the other stuff that a young man would ask for. And he gave him riches as well. The book of Ecclesiastes chronicles that. Now, Solomon had this great wisdom, but he also had a very voracious fleshly appetite. He just, man, this guy just couldn't get enough of stuff. And he chronicles. In fact, in that book, Solomon says, Man, I tried to find life fulfillment in pleasure. First of all, I tried to find an education. He was smart. He built all this. He had all this horticulture thing. You farmers and ranchers, this guy, man, he would crossbreed plants and come up with new fruits and breed different animals. He was a genius as far as agriculture and ranching and stuff. He said, I gave myself to that. I'm going to see how smart I can get. Vanity of vanities, he said. Didn't bring fulfillment. He says, well, if that didn't do it, now I'm going to go to pleasure. I'm gonna just delight my body. I'm gonna experiment in how I can bring pleasure to my body. He has 700 wives, 300 concubines. Do the math. Whoa. That didn't do it, he said. Vanity of vanities. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll find him possessions. How much money can I make? How successful can I be? And he set about to do that. Now, this is staggering. They estimated at the peak of his success, the peak of his reign, that Solomon was worth $2.2 trillion. The richest man in America right now is Jeff Bezos of Amazon. His net worth is $112 million. Solomon was several times richer than even Jeff Bezos of Amazon. This guy had it all. But what did he say? Vanity of vanities, like chasing the wind. Didn't do it for me like I thought it would do it for me. Well, what did it for him? What did he conclude at the end of his life? This man who experienced everything that a lot of us are sacrificing, our families, our marriages, our walk with God. What did it get him at the end of his life? Here's what it got him in Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life, he says. Here's what I've concluded. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which is given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you've labored under the sun. Here's what it is, guys. What are you looking for? It's right next to you. It's right next to you. Some of you may have been following the story in the last couple years of Rory and Joy Feek, country bluegrass singers. Joey, she was diagnosed with cervical cancer in 2014, just 1 month after having their first child, Indy. 2 years later, March 4th of 2016, she passed away. Rory, her husband, on the first anniversary of her death, wanted to honor her by putting together a little short film about her. Well, it took off. It took off. And I want to show you just a little bit of that story and a little bit of their story as we close. Take a peek.
The story of faith, hope, and music. Country music duo Joey and Rory Feek showed us the power of love, even after death.
Joey died from cervical cancer this past March in her hometown of Alexandria, Indiana. Rory chronicled their journey, often sharing stories of their little girl, named Indiana, who we watched grow up during her mother's fight.
And tomorrow you can be an eyewitness to it all with the first public screening of the film, To Joey with Love. Tonight, Eyewitness News reporter Naomi Peskovitz talked with Rory Feek about the movie and what Indiana meant to Joey.
Their lives read like a screenplay. But this story is real. Snippets of time document the greatest joys and deepest sorrows, Joey, Rory, and little Indiana.
I didn't actually have an urge to make the movie into a film. I had an urge to film our lives.
We sat down with Rory Feek at a studio in New York City.
Rory documented their journey on film.
After a whirlwind day of interviews on national networks, a pause to reflect on the final months of his wife's life, which they spent in Alexandria, Indiana.
We were there for 5 months, and I felt like it was not just her home, it was my home. The people were incredible, and there isn't a place that we went that people didn't take care of us.
She started her life there, she ended her life there. Was that important to her?
I think in the end, it was important to her. Her roots were deep in Indiana, and it felt like the right place for her to live out her life. If you have to sit somewhere and prepare to meet your maker, that's a pretty place to sit.
Right in Alexandria?
Yes, in Alexandria.
Good. Somebody's wearing her hat. Good.
I've always told my wife that if she ever wanted to move back home, back from Tennessee to Indiana, I would be game. When she got sick and realized that more than likely she wasn't going to get better, she wanted to come home and spend time with her family. And she came for a few days that turned into a few weeks, that turned into a few months. And I feel like I got to follow through on what I told her, which is, if you want to go home, I want to go home.
Those months were spent watching little Indiana giggle and grow. Indiana has Down syndrome, but Rory believes God doesn't make mistakes.
There were some people around us, even Joy's daddy sometimes said, can she get a break? Like, you know, why can't she not even get a break? It didn't even occur to her that she wasn't getting one. It really didn't occur to me either.
Do you sing to Indiana?
I do. When at night, when Indy is getting ready for bed, we put her pajamas on and she sits in my lap, and she will always do the same thing. She'll sign music. She wants me to do a song for her. I'll ask which one, and I'll name a couple of songs, and she'll say, yes, yes. So most of the time I sing, I surrender all to her.
I surrender all.
Joey had specific songs she sang in the garden in Amazing Grace.
Yeah, my privilege.
But mine is, I surrender
all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
What do you miss most about Joey?
I just miss her companionship. I miss Joey being here by my side. I've never really had to do an interview without her chair sitting right here. I don't really like it, but it's the way that it is. I'm so thankful to have all this footage and have this film of her life. I'm just so blessed that something tugged inside my heart and hers and said, push record on the camera. Someday this will matter.
I have been at the bedside of men, primarily, who are in their last hours of their life and last days of their life, and 100% to the man, as we talk, we get some time to talk privately, the things that he wants to pour out to a pastor is, was I a good husband? I didn't do what I wish I could have done. I wish I could rewind the thing and be a better husband. I wish I would have been a better dad. Those are the things at the end of life that men are concerned with. And I'm sure you ladies, it's the same thing. Well, if that's the most important thing at the end of a man and woman's life, why shouldn't it be the most important thing right now in your life? And so here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take the hand of your spouse, you married men that are here. You that are here and you're married and your husbands or wives aren't here, put your arm around another guy or lady, grab a friend, just kind of symbolically. And I'm gonna pray for you. And I'm gonna ask God for some of you to recalibrate off of this message today, to recalibrate and say, we've gotten off track. I've gotten off track. I've gotten hard. I'm going to make this important. I'm going to change. It's worth the effort to understand each other. It's worth the effort. It always takes dying. It always comes down to dying to self. That's what it comes down to. It always comes down to dying to self. And that's going to have to take place if you want to get to where you want to get to. So bow your heads if you would. Father, I pray for these married couples that are here today, Lord. And I pray, Father, right now, God, that any killing off of the flesh that needs to happen in their life, that they would acknowledge it today, they would confess it as sin, and God, that Lord, that the Spirit of God now would come and begin to move and begin to strengthen those areas in their marriage and their life that need to be strengthened, God. Lord, let the anointing oil of your spirit just begin to wash over any hard hearts, any callous hearts, and begin to soften them towards one another. And God, let them see maybe fresh and anew the importance of their mate and understand they're just different. They're not weird. They're not mean. They're not out. They're just different. Let them just accept that. And I pray, God, that you just bring healing and bring a renewed focus. If you're here today, maybe you're a married person. Maybe you're not. But for you, what you need is you need a new heart. You need Christ. You need to be born again. You need to get out from underneath the clutches of sin. And the only way for most of us to do that is to receive Christ, to have that power of sin broken. Good intentions, strong will isn't enough for some people. You need to be born again. God come live inside of you. And that can happen if you'll just humble yourself and express your need for him. If you want to receive Christ today, I'll lead you in a two-sentence prayer today. The words aren't important. What's important is the condition of your heart. If you want to give your life to Christ today, just raise your hand. I'll pray with you right where you sit. Right where you sit, I'll love to lead you in a prayer to receive Christ. Raise your hand up boldly. This is only for people that mean business. If you don't mean business, yeah, don't worry about putting it up. But if you're saying, I want to change, I need to change. Men, women, young people, doesn't matter. Raise your hand. I want to change. Okay, you that have your hand raised, just pray this simple prayer with me. Just say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. Thank you that Jesus died for my sin. I receive him as my Savior today. And I give you my life. Amen and amen. We got prayer people. If you need prayer on anything you heard today, God bless you. Always good to be over here, and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org.